Call committee to order.
We did it.
Proposed calendar for today, for Friday, May 16th. So we're going to be doing personnel changes first. So I move to approve the personnel changes, and Sharon Sharpie is here to give us some background.
Sharon Sharpie, the first item is there are three different personnel reports in front of you. The first one is appointments, the second being change in status, and then the third is determination. Just a couple things on there. You may see, we do this annually, so you may see duplicates of the same person on both appointments, change status, and terminations. Also, the status is either usually permanent or temporary. Occasionally, we have an inactive position. It was active at the time, but maybe now at this time, it is no longer an active position, but it is shown on that record.
Any questions? Any discussion? And I move then approval of the personnel changes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion has been adopted. So we have a resolution and an adoption of changes to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Legislative plan for employee benefits and policies. And again, Mr. Sharpie.
Legislative Coordinating Commission plan. It is approved usually every other year. We just have a few minor changes. The first one, we just have a room number change. The next few are just some clarifying language. We are not changing any policy there. It's just some clarification. We added a form, a website correction. And then the last one is that we did look to increase the maximum reimbursement for meals while on legislative business. This does coincide with the executive branch.
Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, I move the R8 resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution adopted. We'll move to item 6, R5 journal resolutions. McCormick?
Members, this is the annual resolution that gives the chief clerk the authority to revise and correct the journal after the last day of the legislative session.
This is the R5. Any questions, any discussion? Seeing none, I move the R5 resolution. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, resolution is adopted. We'll move on to the R2 resolution on facilities. Mr. McCormick?
The resolution on facilities is another of the three that we do at the end of the year. It just clarifies that the House controls the House facilities during the interim.
Any discussion? Questions? Seeing none, I move the R2 resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Resolution is adopted. Move on to the R4 resolution on parking. McCormick.
This is the annual statement that the House controls all of the various parking spots. This year we have two new parking areas, the upper Capitol Mall and lower Capitol Mall parking lots, and those are added to the other parking facilities that we control during the interim.
Any questions, any discussion? Seeing none, move the R4 resolution. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, resolution is adopted. Representative Carlson, have you looked at the next board?
That's all moved, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, minutes have been adopted. On to this one. Mm-hmm. All right, we move on to R3A2, resolution on expense reimbursements. Mr. Reinholz here.
Mr. Chairman, members, the resolution on expense reimbursement is being proposed to change, and the substantive change on this is the amount allowable for hotel rooms, and it has been 115, and current policy we found that there is difficulty finding rooms at that rate. This proposes to raise that to 125. That's on page 2 in line 10. And it also raises the definition several times down at the bottom of page 228 and 29. It also raises the allowable amount when a member is attending a meeting or a conference and allows up to $35,600.
Any questions? Any discussion? Seeing none, I move the R3A2 resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Resolution is adopted.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask Ms. Jarby a question. We moved through the R8 kind of quickly, and we adopted, I think, this fatter set of employment policies, and I was wondering if she could explain to us the comp time provisions for staff briefly.
Ms. Jarby.
Say the question again, would you?
It's just a question of how comp time for employees works.
Comp time is a separate policy. Our current comp time is, our hours vary in a pay period from 72 to 96 hours in a pay period. Because we're paid on the 15th of the month and then the last 6 hours can vary. First, you have to go 4 hours over the total hours in the pay period. And then for every 1.5 hours additional, you receive 1 hour of comp time, up to a maximum of 180 hours in a comp time year. Our comp time year runs November 1st through October 31st.
Mr. Chair. So if an employee works an hour and a half extra, then they get an hour of comp time? Mr. Chair, Ms. Jarby, is that the same policy in the House and the Senate?
Ms. Jarby.
Madam, excuse me, Mr. Chair, it's important. I believe the Senate recently changed theirs. I believe they went to a one for one with their newest change.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Jarby, in the past, has the House had a 1 to 1, or have we always been at a 1.5 to 1?
Ms. Jarby.
Mr. Chair, Representative Horton, we had a 1.5 to 1
7.
For a number of years. I believe that change was in 2009.
And my last question would be, if we were to make a change in that, would there be a fiscal impact, or would there not be a fiscal impact on the budget of the House? Maybe that's a question.
I defer to you.
Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, Representative Hartman, we haven't looked at it, obviously, but there are differences. The House does pay out comp time when employees leave, just as it does vacation time. If all you did was change the acquiring of comp time, it probably would have very minimal. But some people may get paid out. The only way it would is if people would get paid out when it's like that.
Mr. Reinholz, if I can just follow up, does the Senate pay out comp time too, or is there a difference there when a Senate employee would leave?
Madam Chair, Representative Hartman. They do not under their current policy. They are adopting policies today too, since I'm saying I'm not quite sure if they changed anything. Their current and previous policy is not to pay out comp time. So there's numerous differences between House and Senate in comp time. They don't allow any accrual of comp time outside of session. The House does have it through the end of October.
The entire comp time.
So there are differences in other than just the...
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reinholz, Ms. Jarby. Are there other questions? Seeing no further questions, Representative Benson renews his motion. Gotcha. I'm catching up here.
Let's go to item 7.
Alrighty, so then I'll move the R7 resolution. This is in your packet, Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this resolution adopts a record retention schedule that I believe it should be either in your packet or attached to. What we're asking here for is to make formal the health policy, at least in budget and accounting and human resources, on what records are maintained for what length of time. The executive branch has record retention schedules. The Senate does and the LCC does. The House has never adopted a formal schedule. Really, we've had proposed this for several reasons. One is just for administrative clarity, to make clear to the public and also employees the length that records are maintained. And also, our auditors in the past have several times recommended that we should have a record retention schedule. So we're looking at it as it is good business practice.
Other questions? Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I think this is really important. I can't believe we don't have one. Most of the local governments have done this for 20 years, 30 years, so I think it's very important.
Any other questions? Seeing no questions, I renew my motion on the R7 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Next, we'll take up the policy on the payment of per diem living expenses during the interim.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Reinholz.
2014 P1 is the resolution, I believe. This policy, the change being proposed here is starting down at the bottom of the first page on line 23. Currently, if you recall, the current expenses, each member is allowed one day in the interim months to conduct business at the Capitol and ask for reimbursement of the DM and also the expenses related to that. So those members are amount away, so they have the availability of asking for a second day for the travel. Members, I've heard from members that the unflexibility of this, and what we're really trying to do here is make it more flexible. And what we're doing is saying that members have up to 10 days during the interim. They can use those 10 days as they choose rather than building them up once a month. And that will allow them then, if they're down here for several days for meetings, to be able to collect per diem for those out of that. It increases the total slightly. It depends on the number of interim months. This year, I believe there would have been 8, and now we're seeing 10. And it depends how long the session is. It also then makes one other change. It also allows for the travel day for those people that are, just as it is now, that are over 50 miles, and also allows for expenses for those people. The travel expenses might have been, in most cases, of over 50 miles. One thing it does, if they chain together, the way it's worded, if members chain together several per diem days down to Capitol, they can only request one travel day. The idea being the travel day is to pay a round trip coming down for the one expense for mileage. It's really supposed to be actual reimbursement, and that's what they're trying to make sure that it's worded that way. The other slight change that we make, and this came up because of problems that some members have asked. It begins on line 29, the changes, where it says members may be reimbursed for the expense of lodging one night while in the vicinity of the state capitol. And on the back, the language we're proposing to add is while in direct transit between his or her residence and the state capitol. What we have now is allowable to rent a room in the area of the state capitol, and we have had to turn members, refuse reimbursement on members due to that language, that sometimes they live 7 hours away, and if the meeting ended in the late afternoon, they would rather go halfway home in that night, and then they stay in a hotel, and then they went home the rest of the time. The next day, they may have had a late morning meeting they had to get to. We're allowing, this will, the language then will allow that to happen and allow us to pay them on that, which is reasonable and seems better to them and no more expensive for the hotel.
Thank you, Mr. Reinholtz. Are there questions? Seeing no questions, I move the P1 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you, Mr. Reinholtz. It's nice to see you. And then, members, last but certainly not least is the document titled Campaign Activity Policy, which was also in your packets, and I'm going to ask Mr. McCormick if he could walk us through this document, please.
Madam Chair, members, you'll see at the beginning, at the top of the document, there's a new paragraph B, and that just creates a definition of distribution or distributing, which will be used throughout the later aspects of the document, and it excludes door-to-door delivery. And the intention here is so that when a member legitimately delivers a newsletter as part of the time period when members can deliver newsletters, that delivery doesn't mean you can go to your district and drop it door-to-door. The gist of this campaign activity policy, just to back up for a minute, sets when communications by a member are allowed. And it's for those of us who are familiar with this, it's the classic 60 days after sign you die provision, which states that you can do your newsletters and communications from the date of sign you die until the date 60 days later, after which you're not allowed to communicate through the election. And we're changing this in this policy and updating the policy. To continue describing the changes, you'll see that we amend paragraph 1. These are exceptions to definitions of campaign activity. These are things that are allowed. And the first thing is a member is allowed to prepare and distribute and assist in preparation and distribution of newsletters, questionnaires, legislative reports, and other similar types of material, regardless of format, if the material is prepared and distributed no more than 60 days after adjournment, signing die of a regular session. And then in paragraph 2, we're stating that preparing, distributing, and assisting in the preparation and distribution of electronic communication related to the substance of laws proposed or enacted at a special session, provided that the special session convenes more than 60 days after adjournment, signing die of a session, but before the general election that year, is allowed in the event of a special session if the communications are prepared and distributed no more than 10 days after adjournment of the special session, and further provided that the communication may not be distributed in 30 days prior to an election. So in this case, we've had situations in the past where there's been a special session and a member has not been allowed to communicate about that special session because it's after the 60-day period after signing die. In this case, the members would be able to communicate specifically about the changes in law made in the special session, provided that those communications are made within the 10-day period after the special session adjourns, and not made in the 30 days prior to an election. In paragraph 3, we're allowing preparing, distributing, or assisting in the preparation and distribution of a letter of congratulations to a constituent on the occasion of a significant life event or milestone, and that's a kind of communication that has been ruled out under the past policy, but that would now be allowed. And those are the changes in the campaign activities.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Representative Portman.
Madam Chair, Mr. McCormick, I'm concerned about letter B and what that allows us to do and not do with regard to communicating with constituents after the session ends, but before the 60 days is up. So after session ends, we generally have town hall meetings where we invite members of our community to a meeting to tell them what happened at the legislative session, or we might distribute to them a legislative report that tells them what we did during the legislative session. It would not be a communication that says vote for somebody, but to communicate with the residents of our district about what we've done. Does B mean that I could not distribute information door-to-door to my constituents about a town hall meeting I might be having or a legislative report I may have prepared?
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, I think it could be read that way. And perhaps one way to correct that might be to amend the distribution definition to note that it's tied only to paragraph C. I'd like to think just for a minute about that and work on what that might look like.
Madam Chair, Mr. McCormick, because if that's what it means, I would, when we get to that point later on in the discussion, move to strike paragraph B. Because it costs about $4,500 for me to send a little hello to the folks I represent to tell them what's going on. If I want to walk door to door, I can save a lot of money and tell people about a town hall meeting or what happened at the legislature. And I don't think we should prohibit a cheaper form of distribution.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you. My question is about C3, the addition there. What is the definition of life events or milestone? Specifically, baby letters, would it be new resident letters? It's a life event if you're moving. Would it be school awards, somebody won a football game, community honors, anniversaries? What would it include? What do life events include?
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, it could include all of those things you mentioned. The key is that it's limited to congratulations to a constituent, so it wouldn't be a mass mailing where you would say, I'd like to congratulate all the members of my district or all the members of the city in my district. It would have to be something tied to an event that a constituent had.
Representative Pepin.
But there might be, in my district, there might be 100 new people that move in. So I could send a letter to each of those new people that moved into the district then?
Madam Chair, members, if that's in your mind, if that's a significant life event, I think this would allow that.
Representative Pepin.
So that's a change. And so some could view this as an advantage to incumbents since we would be able to send that out on our not paid for government expense with our nice little seal and our title on it then, correct?
Madam Chair.
Mr. McCormick.
Yes.
Representative Ward.
On that same line, in that another three, I think it was referenced, I call those cabbage letters, and I do a lot of them during that session. So it would be, in my understanding, it would be the same events that I do during the session would be allowed now after we hear a sign to die. So if I did it prior, I mean, it could be something new. Congratulatory in the process is something new. I find most of mine in my local paper, but what I wanted to ask is this limited in time frame? Is this limited time-wise?
Mr. McCormick.
Members, the time frame that you have for dispersing these materials that are done at the end of session, newsletters, and has always been in the 60 days after sine die. And the change here is to create a new period where those materials are legitimate, which is the 10 days after sine die of a special session. And that is limited, however, because it still cannot occur in the 30 days prior to an election. So under a hypothetical that there was a special session on August 15th of this year, and it was a one-day special session and there was sine die on the 15th, in the 10 days after that August 15th special session, a member could do a newsletter saying these are the, and it's limited to specifically the discussion of the substance of the laws proposed or enacted at the special session. So a member could do a newsletter saying, at the special session on August 15th, we did flood relief for a certain community in Minnesota. Here's what we did, and could send that out. If the same event happened so that it was October 5th, which is 30 days prior to the election, this would not allow that. Members, just to go back to the earlier question about the definition of distribution, the definition of distribution is applied here both to paragraph 1, paragraph 2, and paragraph 3. In paragraph 1, we're amending and clarifying the existing 60-day period. In paragraph 2, we're creating the new 10-day special session period. And paragraph 3, we're creating the new congratulations or milestone letter. And as I read the new definition, it would apply to all three of those. So under this new proposed policy, paragraph 1, 2, and 3, a member would not be be allowed to distribute or deliver door-to-door. I think the easiest and simple thing for a member who did not want this provision would be to strike that paragraph B and renumber as a proposed motion.
Representative Portman?
I would make that motion. It's very expensive to communicate with people in the district, and I think members should have the chance to distribute things for free if they've got the time and energy to walk to those doors. So, and I don't think that B adds anything that we're losing here.
So, here's what I would like to do. Here's what I'd like to suggest to the committee, because it is it Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
And it's not Saturday yet, which means that there's going to be a rules committee tomorrow. And we could easily try and amend this here and wordsmith it, but it may be better for us to just give ourselves a few hours to consider what Mr. McCormick is suggesting and bring back another document tomorrow that we can consider and vote on, given what I'm hearing from members. And before we do that, that's what my plan is, I'm seeing nodding heads, which I think is useful, but are there any other questions or concerns that people want to lift up about this document in front of us right now before we wrap up the hearing? And I see a couple of hands. Representative Torkelson.
Well, just very quickly, Madam Chair, thank you. In relation to the 10 days and the special session, I assume that if we would have a special session immediately following regular session within the 60 days, the 60 days would still supersede the 10 days.
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, yes.
Thank you.
And Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to have members take a look at the amendment that was passed out that I had drafted, if we're going to be thinking about things overnight. And I don't want to step on Portman's amendment, but just if we're getting thinking caps on. So the purpose in my amendment, it's always been kind of confusing to me that if we have, as members, we serve until our term is up, whether 60 days go by or not. So there are people who will retire or get beat in a primary who serve until the end of the year. And I think, and I'm not thinking about this for myself right now, just to be clear, but I mean, eventually we all go. And so I think that you have things where members are acting in their official capacity and they're prohibited from communicating with their constituents. I think the amendments that are before us from the election on and during special session provide some of that, but if Representative Benson is going to, in his official capacity, go to the state fair and says he wants to send an email update out and say, I'm going to be at the state fair at the House of Representatives booth working on this day, I think he should be able to do that because he's acting in his job. He's representing his constituents. I understand the concern about electioneering, and I think, you know, it's hard to have any control with a member. But I also think we do serve until the end of the year, and there should be something to think about here. I did talk with Representative Dowd a little bit. I know he raised some of those concerns about what if somebody would use it to try to do electioneering. But if we're thinking about things overnight, I'd like to just throw that out there as an idea, because I think that we do serve until we're done. And there may be things that we need to notify our constituents about. It doesn't stop 60 days after the election or after sine die. Our term ends at the end of the year.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just mentioning the state fair, what would the status be? You know, I've gone over and volunteered for many, many years at the Minnesota House booth, and House Information prints a little card with your picture on it. Most of those don't even go to constituents unless you just happen to have a constituent that walks up to the booth. But what would be the status of those? If you're distributing them, you know, they give you maybe, I don't know, 25, 50. Not a big issue in terms of cost, but it is something that House Information provides for everybody that volunteers at the booth in both parties.
Mr. McCormick.
They provided them last year.
Madam Chair, members, I'm pretty sure those are allowed under campaign activity and that those are as part of your role as an ambassador of the House of Representatives in that situation. But I will double check to make sure that House Information isn't putting you in an awkward situation.
Madam Chair, I only mentioned that because he referenced the state fair, that there are other circumstances sometimes where you may be at an event, as you point out, as an ambassador of the House, and there may be promotional materials because you're there for the general public, and just what the status of those things are, not necessarily the cards. I was just using that as an example. That probably wouldn't be a cost that would be on the radar screen, but there are events that you do attend where there may be handouts or whatever that may not even be related to constituents per se, but you are representing the House in some capacity.
I imagine if we put that card on the stick, it would make it, you know, something different at the state fair altogether. But we don't have to entertain that right now. Are there further questions or anything that anybody wants to add to the discussion on the campaign activity policy? Representative Ward.
Well, Madam Chair, not necessarily that. I want to go back to the President Ward's comments and questions. Can I do that, or do you want to finish here at this point at first?
If you would allow me to just say.
Okay.
And Representative Loon, did you have a question at all?
No, I think you address it by giving us a little more time.
All right. So, members, I didn't move the campaign activity policy, so we'll just set that aside and come back to it. And with that, Representative Ward.
Madam Chair, thank you. And I just, Representative Ward, thank you for asking those questions. I think as we near the end of the session, we all, Republicans, Democrats alike, appreciate even more our staff. And as we put them through the grind here, all of us, including them, you know, I think it's appropriate that we also review things. So I hope that I would encourage us to further the discussion that has been started here and further the thoughts that have been started here in reviewing staff benefit policy. So I just laid that out there as a follow-up to Representative Wortman's questions. Thank you.
And I appreciate that, Representative Ward, especially in that you are talking about the idea of comp time in a more comprehensive look at how compensation here for House staff. So thank you for that. All right. Seeing no further questions, members will be in recess. I don't expect that we'll be back together again tonight, but just in case, we're in recess. Thank you.